You're listening to the number one show at this address. These always win where finance and hip hop live.
What's a rip?
A rip, commission. That's why we work here.
We make huge rips.
No, I still don't know how it works.
But you and me, the brokers, right, we're taking home cold hard cash via commission.
Right.
No matter whether our clients make money or lose money, Duke and Duke get the commissions.
The only thing we don't know is your fee.
My fee is the free market. But your partner.
Welcome to episode 17 of Fees Always Win. We have returned with the new series of stocks and goals for the quarter. Ello is back, and he has four stock picks in addition to mine. We're going to follow more stocks and review the first four that we followed and kind of review what it taught us or what we learned through that experience. If you don't know already, you are listening to Fees Always Win Investment Club, hosted by Chris and Ello, two investors on a journey to learn more on strategy, indicators, and knowledge to become great investors. You could find us on Facebook, iTunes, probably every other place where you get your podcasts. Call and leave a message on our voicemail line, 281-645-9205, and please leave a rating on our iTunes page. If it's 5 stars, we will read it on air. How goes it?
You know what? It goes well, Chris. I'm having a great month of May right now, man. How are you, sir?
Man, it's hot outside, but an indicator of a very vain conversation is that is one on the weather.
When you're in Houston, though, when you're in Texas, period, when you say it's hot, man. Houston, Texas, Arizona, certain places where the heat is ridiculous, although Arizona has the dry heat.
I will say there's a delineation, though, because you go up northeast, it might not be 100 degrees, but the fact a bunch of those places don't have air conditions built in or in the window, that's a whole other hot where you just have to spin your fan and getting the heat moving around. That's one thing you could appreciate in Texas is we don't even try to fool ourselves that the fan is enough.
I didn't even account for that. Yeah, I couldn't even imagine dealing with the level of heat that they deal with, not having any AC or anything to really cool off your home. Goodness.
Yeah, you hear about people dying in 95-degree heat, and you're like, man, I live in Texas. How? And then it's, they don't have air conditioning. I get it now. It makes more sense.
It makes so much sense now.
Easy to get dehydrated in that instance. But
wow.
I felt like I learned a lot from our first series of picks, like the roles the political climate plays into gains or losses or the amount of debt a company has, like Sprint, and how that overshadows everything else they do. With General Electric, I learned General Electric doesn't make anything anymore that I remember General Electric making. And that gave me insight to want to follow or research more about a company before investing in that company. It looked like General Electric finished about even with the CEO comments tanking it last week.
Oh, man. Yeah. When we first started doing this, I was talking about, you know, General Electric is a traditional company, a company that families know and all these things. And like you said, I didn't have the proper research. I didn't know how far they were in debt. I didn't know they sold off so many different things. So many different parts of their company. So it's like it's what I thought it was and what I assumed it would be versus what it actually was. But the good thing is, given the dividend and where they are, basically broke even. But you're right. It's you can't just go off of a name alone. You really have to do your research and understand what you're buying into. Otherwise, you will really be disappointed because a lot of these company names, they're nowhere near what they used to be.
That's the truth. And then with Micron Technology, I think was your other one.
Yeah, Micron. The biggest thing with Micron is we were talking before in regards to the proposed tariffs and how that would affect the company. In regards to Micron, I don't know, man. I had high hopes initially, but with the proposed tariffs, with the things that our president may or may not say, I realized that trade, anything with amounts of trade or things being shipped off right now, may not be the best way to go because you don't know how it's going to be affected long run, in the long run. But it was a company I learned about. I did see a lot of highs with the company, a couple of lows, but it was a good experience because it was taking a risk on something, you know, just based on what I hope to see, if that makes sense.
No, that makes complete sense. I didn't even know about this company until it was one of your picks, and that's at the point I started following it. And it was immediately started with significant gains. It was a strong stock. And then the tariffs and that conversation hit. The tariffs weren't even enacted, and that was enough to place the stock in a shaky situation combined with the lawsuit as well. But it goes to show just even outside of leadership, GE, the leadership's not helping. But Micron, by all indications, had strong leadership, but it was national leadership and international leadership that was affecting that price day to day. If this has showed me anything, it's the perception of time, that if we looked at it week to week, we saw significant losses, significant gains. But we look over a quarter, a 10-week period, and a lot of these stocks kind of finish close to where we started. And that could be comforting, especially in times of loss, that you know everything's cyclical. And if it's a company like all companies, their goal is to make money, at some point it's going to go back up, hopefully.
You're right. And that was one of the first things we talked about when we decided to get into this, was being patient, not panicking, not going off of emotion, but really having a number where if it hits that number, that's your buy or sell, you know, point. And just going from there. So you're right. I mean, it's been a lot of highs. It's been a lot of lows. But overall, it's breaking even in the long run, which is positive in itself. But it's also a teaching moment because you really learn that nothing ever stays the same, especially in stocks. One day you can be riding high. The next day you can be trying to figure out where it all went wrong.
Yeah, my next one was Parsley Energy. And this is one that's gone up, went back down, and is back up and going back down. And what stood out to me is the role of institutional investors. As large investors kept pulling their money in and out of this stock, that despite analysts rating as a buy, and despite the price of oil going up, this stock did not move proportional with the market swings. And it was related to big money coming in and out, as well as the insider traders, the people who work for the company's movement in and out of the company. And my next picks, I have looked at a lot more of who owns that pick, as in the banks or Warren Buffett, anything like that, because it does make a difference of how that corporation moves. You look at Blockbuster in the last year, it was Carl Icahn, I think, who took it over and wanted it to go in one direction as the board wanted to go in another direction. And that's what really held it back, is they weren't fluid enough to make the change that they needed at the moment. Parsley Energy, they have so much outstanding stock that somebody could come in at any time and buy it, which is probably the goal of the owners. But also that's the scariest part of who could come and buy it.
Yeah, I remember that was a big thing we were looking at in regards to Parsley, regarding the investors, regarding the energy aspect of it, because going into it, you would have assumed that there would be a lot of tremendous gains based off of what we were expecting or projecting. Now, I know you were talking before in regards to Sprint, because like when you look at the commercials, and you and I both have Sprints, I think we both were expecting great things from them. But that's one of those companies, like you said before, where the more you learned about them, you realize things were nowhere near what we expected them to be, especially in regards to the amount of debt that they had.
Yeah, Sprint, that's the exact reason why I picked it, is because they were my phone carrier and I figured it was something close that I could learn more about. the thing that definitely stood out is the debt and realizing that Sprint needs T-Mobile and consumers need more options. And that current climate won't allow for both to happen. And that's concerning for the entire telecom industry as they're just going to continue to consolidate. And knowing that Sprint has no way of improving their service, my experience, which is probably why I'm probably going to leave Sprint in the next couple of months, because it's not investor friendly for them to improve my experience once they already have my business.
We didn't discuss this before, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but I'm curious. If you leave Sprint, what company would you consider going to? So you don't have to tell me which, but what would you consider going?
T-Mobile. Everybody that I know who's left Sprint is enjoying T-Mobile.
Because they buy out the contract, I think, right?
They will buy out the contract, but there's no guarantee this merger between the two is going through. Currently, Time Warner and Comcast are trying to merge, if I remember correctly. And that's being held up by regulators for monopoly concerns. T-Mobile buying Sprint will take it from four major players down to three. And that's not better for the consumer in any way possible.
Right. The prices are going to go up tremendously. Less competition.
Absolutely.
Okay. Fair point.
And so, well, those were our previous four picks. This next set has been pretty interesting. This is what we're picking coming up for the 10 weeks. We're going to go through all the ones that we are picking first and kind of go, then review each one individually as what indicators made us want to, put our energy behind these plays. The first one is ironically the ticker name is Play and Elo chose it. Tell me more about Dave & Buster's and your other three picks.
Okay, so I chose Dave & Buster's. We're going to get into why a little bit later. I chose Audio Codes Limited. I chose CBS Corporation. I chose Thor Industries. It's funny, though, because the point in time that we initially chose these companies, I did my research and I saw what I saw. But like anything in stocks, it's amazing how things have changed in the past couple of days. But I'll get more into detail. What four did you choose, Chris?
I chose the World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, Host Hotels, ticker symbol HST, Illinois Tool Works, ticker signal ITW, and TJ Maxx, TJX is the ticker symbol. A diverse amount of reasons why I chose them. And I'm sure a lot are going to overlap with your reasoning. We didn't come up with these picks together. We just sent each other a request of what were you thinking for the next 10 weeks. And this is what we responded to each other with.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because now that we both know about the dividend, I think that was a big part of trying to search for a stock moving forward. For my picks, with Dave & Buster's, currently there is a bit of a downtrend, but overall in the past year, there's been 52.46% growth. So I see one at the stock price is at, last time I checked, it was $40. Let me make sure. Hold on. Yeah, $40.67, which may seem pricey to some, but when you look at Dave & Buster's, not only for their name, and I look at the growth that they've had in the last year, I just see that as a pretty good option. I think my first go-around, I was taking chances on companies I looked at but didn't necessarily have the full knowledge of. So me not only being someone who enjoys Dave & Buster's, but seeing the fact that they had that growth over the last year, it just seems like something worth taking the risk on.
Yeah, my next pick was the World Wrestling Entertainment. I guess growing up, I always watched wrestling. Of course, you had The Rock and Stone Cold, so I feel like that's more the golden era than other eras that my dad would tell me about, especially at the NWO versus the WWE. And that was just part of growing up and being in school, at least where I was. One of the things that made me invest in it is I distinctly remember growing up and when WWE opened up a restaurant in Times Square. One of my grandmothers lives in New York, went by, you could put your hand in the Andre the Giant hand. And at that time, I didn't realize the impact that that was. And my parents were just like, of course, you're going to see something wrestling related. But that's a big move for a company that was truly regionalized and considered just a kids company to take that leap of faith and open up a physical restaurant as some way to identify themselves to the public and people to stop by. Now, the legacy of it, the restaurant didn't last, probably lasted about 5 years. It was at the same time as the XFL. That's where they did all the unveiling of the helmets. But one thing that stood out is when they went independent, they got rid of pay-per-views and they had their own channel, kind of like Netflix. They understood the value of their content and buying the library of other companies. I chose this pick like the day before that the news announcement came that Fox is paying $1 billion for a 5-year contract to broadcast their secondary, the wrestling secondary show on Friday nights.
Really?
As a live show. That just got my ears turning because that's a big contract. Now you could finally get real advertisers to interact that were probably going to get more images of wrestlers at football games and that cross promotion. That I could see this only going as up, and maybe this is a play that I'm thinking people are maybe too prideful to invest in, but they've made it this far. I don't see how it doesn't continue to grow. So a lot of it is anecdotal. Probably there's another one of my picks that's also in that same vein, but that's why I picked World Wrestling Entertainment. It is at 5808. It went up about $62 last week. It came back down. That's when the announcement was made, though the contract's not in force yet. So when the contract goes in force, I think the stock is easily going to gain you $4. And $4, if you can get at least 3% off of your stock, you're easily beating inflation. It's a good game to be in. I think this will get me that.
Yeah. Plus, anything wrestling related, people love wrestling. When we're both dead and gone, they say that Twinkies and cockroaches are gonna survive, outlive us all. They're gonna be cockroaches cutting promos and wrestling in some kind of way. So,
brother,
it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So that's a smart play. And that Fox deal is huge, especially with UFC leaving to go to ESPN, because wrestling is such a child friendly base. So you know that's huge. The next company that I chose CBS Corporation, which is currently at $50.97. Now, when I initially chose this, it's related with Viacom, but I feel like based on that pricing, with CBS, where they're going regarding their content, I thought it was a good pick. Until last week, I see that there's actually a legal war going on and that, there are 5 board members who made a complaint and they're trying to basically have a hostile takeover. So last year, CBS was going at $60. This year, it's $50. So my thinking at the time was if I can get in when the price is dropping and then things start to level off, you can see that increase pick up again. So that was my initial thought process in regards to going to CBS. Now, it does concern me whenever you're talking about legal wars or board members trying to take over because you don't know what direction things are going to go. But CBS is basically a self-sustaining machine at this point, so I'm hoping to see gains, but I'm also going to pay close attention to what's going on with Sherry Reston, I think is the person that they're having a legal war with, to see how that may affect things moving forward.
And one thing where I was looking into the stock after you send it, you see how much Viacom owns. That's also like Paramount, it's MTV, it's VH1. So it's all of these, I guess, reference cheap culture channels that people discount because of the shows that they host, though they have a huge following and they always get good ratings. So I'll be interested to see what they do, especially since Bill Cosby's no longer in the running to buy CBS. Or was that NBC? Regardless,
it was NBC, but still, I get what you're saying. I was thinking Pudding Pops, but I get what you're saying. Yeah.
And so, well, my next one was Host Hotels, symbol HST. This is one that somebody that I talk stocks with as well off of the show sent me a list of stocks to invest in, and we share these back and forth whenever somebody gives us some interesting information. And one of the things we talked about, I think it was four episodes ago, was real estate investment trust, and how in a trust you can't keep most of the profits just for the company. They have to go back to the shareholders. So they traditionally have higher dividends, and the portfolio that they're working on tends to be broad because they're buying more, and that's where that's how the company makes its money, is by being leveraged in multiple locations. So what Host Hotel does is, as a real estate investment trust, they just don't invest in one hotel company. They own some Marriotts, they own Westins, Hyatts, Renaissance, Fairmonts. They own 90-plus properties across the world, primarily in the U.S., but they tend to be luxury properties. To whereas ownership, they can control that experience, make sure that it stands out for their customers, and that's how they're making money. So this is not just a company and a dividend yield play. It's also a sector play that traditionally, when the economy is good, people travel more, they stay in nicer hotels, companies approve budgets for nicer hotels. So that's going to be a win until the economy kind of crashes, if it crashes. But I was reading another article about how the $1 trillion tax cut ended up in most investors' pockets, because the company either use it for buybacks or to increase their yields. So companies are really flush with cash now, even corporate entities, because if they get extra yields back, now their book looks better. So that play could extend on the stocks for much longer than the economic indicators are indicating in other outside of the stock market environment. But Host Hotels seems like it's going to play out. And at the very least, even if I lose some money at a higher than last quarter, I got a 4% yield on it. If it stays around that 3-4%, that means I can make my money back on the investment in less than 5 years if it pays quarterly.
And at the end of the day, that's the name of the game. For me, the next one that I picked is Audio Codes Limited. AUDC is the code name. It's currently at $7.59. It's actually, when I did research on it, it was listed as one of the top 10 stocks of 2018 under $20. It's basically a company that deals with modern over-packet networks regarding transmissions of information, faxes, things of that nature. I saw that it had an EPS growth of 22% and a PE of 16.6. So based on the price point, is that a cheap price point? And especially considering the next stock that I chose is a little bit more pricey. I just feel like taking the risk on what it can be moving forward and the growth that it's showing, I just feel like it's a good stock to get into early to see where it goes. Because at that price point under the $20 mark, and based on the article that I read, it appears that this is one of those stocks that if you get in early and it really starts to blow up, you can really see good returns. So I'll be monitoring it on a daily moving forward just to see where it goes and what potential we may have.
My next pick is one that probably also hasn't been heard of. I know I didn't know of this company prior to choosing it as one of my pick fours, and that's the Illinois Tool Workers, stock symbol ITW. It's an industrial product sector. I've never invested in one of those, so I want to learn more about the sector as well. And this tends to be one that if the economy is moving and other sectors are purchasing, because they make parts as for the whole. So they provide automotive parts for assembly lines. They apply fasteners, sealants, all types of things to finish a process. So as long as companies aren't cutting back, they should be pretty healthy at 147.43. They're looking to maintain investors in there if they haven't split that stock, so they're not really looking for more buyers to invest in. But one reason why people are staying in it is particularly because of their previous yield of around 2%. Historically, it's always been above 1.5, so it's something consistent. And if you're looking at something at 147, that 2% is about $5. So it's nothing to sneeze at. If you have enough of it, you could buy a whole other stock that maybe you have your eye on, or it just increases your earnings exponentially.
Makes sense. The next company I chose is Thor Industries. The sign for it is THO. It's currently at $94.92. Biggest thing for me when reading up on this company, which deals with parts, not hammers or anything like that, but parts, is the dividend and seeing the growth of the company. The company has been performing well over the past 2 years, and the growth has been exponential. Currently, it had a little bit of a slide over the past couple of weeks, but based on the dividend that's been performing at, as well as the potential growth moving forward, it just seems like a company that's worth taking the chance on. And I have my numbers set, so I'll see where things go. And if things start to wane and go a different direction, then I'll go from there. But based on the dividend and the potential for the continued growth within the company, kind of like what Micron was in the last pick that I had, that's what I feel like with Thor Industries in regards to the growth and the potential. So that's my next pick.
All right. And my last one is TJ Maxx, stock symbol TJX. The price is currently at $88.11. This is my other antidote pick. I don't go shopping much because I always buy the same thing and I can usually find it online. I do when I travel, though. And going to markets, one thing that I saw is that one, TJ Maxx kind of owns a lot of things. They own Home Goods, HomeSense, Marshalls, TJ Maxx, TK Maxx, Sierra Trading Post, and Winners. And one thing they always have is every location you go to, they have different products. So they really market to the environment that they're in. You go to a TJ Maxx on a nice side of town, you'll find the polos that have the smooth material. You go to the side of town where it's not so comfortable to leave your vehicle in certain parking spaces, then it might be the polos that are the stitch polos that has a little rougher material. You still get the horse, it's just not the same. This stock has continued to grow as the shopping industry continues to consolidate. People will always be interested in brands. And one thing that they could differentiate themselves with is they don't buy really off-branded merchandise because they don't have to develop their own. They don't. That's not the segment they're filling. They buy lots of clothes. And by what I mean by lots is they talk to Ralph Lauren, and Ralph Lauren says, oh, we have 5,000 of these shirts left, and that was last year's edition. We'll sell you the whole trailer for this amount of money. And TJ Maxx calculations say we could sell it at $38 per and get our returns, and that's what they do. I don't see how that's a bad business plan and where it could fail. I'm going to learn a lot through this. This will be my first retail play, so I'm excited about this journey and what I'm going to learn.
Yeah, I think we both can give some good stories regarding TJ Maxx. In fact, the fact that you've chosen the stock, I may start going to TJ Maxx more just to see, to compare the polos, see what kind of area I live in. Good picks. I think it's interesting that neither one of us, and we didn't discuss this before, neither one of us picked any stocks related to marijuana, because, you know, that's a thing now, too. But I guess that's a discussion for another day.
Complete other day, and I'm ready to have the discussion. I'm just not sure where it's going to fit in this timeline. As we go through, we're probably going to keep these as 10-week series. So what's the next topic that we want to discuss on the next episode?
That's a good question, Chris. I got to sit back and think about it. Because there's so much stuff we covered. I don't know.
And so,
is there anything that you saw that you were thinking about?
Well, I know earlier that you were mentioning like the PE symbols as well as EPS, and that's one thing we discussed on the last episode that was published for the audience. I was thinking of continuing in that realm and learning more about just what those stock symbol indicators mean. I wanted to talk more about the measurements when you bring it up, so that open, that high and low, all that makes sense for people. But what is a market cap? What's the 52-week high, the 52-week low? What does that all mean? How do you measure it? And how does that help you make decisions going forward? I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that, and I'm really open to it.
Okay. Let me give me a chance to review it and then see. I'm going to write down some stuff, and then I'll get back with you so we can get an outline of everything.
Okay, no doubt. We could definitely do that. And we'll have an episode for you next week. So is that everything that you need to cover for this episode?
That's pretty much it. I know we've been away for a while. I went and got engaged, everybody. Woohoo.
Congratulations. Hand clap.
We're back now. So we'll be back to our regular weekly scheduled programming.
And scheduling off time in October.
Yes, sir.
Well, this has been Ella and Chris of Fees Always Win Investment Club, where it's just not the name, it's an insight. Good day, good night, good week. Like us on Facebook. Leave us a review on iTunes. Peace. The opinions expressed on the show do not reflect the thoughts of our respective employers, family, or podcast network. We are not licensed by the FTC or SEC. Before acting on information on the website or from the show, you should consider whether it's suitable for your particular circumstance and seek advice from your own financial or investment advisor.
Hi there, I'm Shauna Smith with Yahoo Finance. Checking in on the market action, we are seeing stocks selling off in afternoon trading. They are accelerating a bit in the midday trading. We have the Dow down about 418 points. The S&P and the NASDAQ are also firmly in the red. The S&P down about 1.3%. Yahoo Finance's Jared Blickery joins me now. Jared, we have two big stories that are on investors' radar. One, we have the drama that's happening over in Europe. Italy's potentially, or it is, a political crisis over there. Also, the latest in terms of the U.S.-China trade talks. It obviously, looks like this is impacting the markets. I mean, we had the Dow down over 400 points. Why are traders so worried?
Well, it's almost like the trade talk is taking a backseat to the Italian bond route. This has greater implications for the markets. It spread overseas. It led stock futures down 250 Dow points overnight. And then into the open, we got a little bit of a rally, but then sold off hard. You know, I look at the NYSE tick index, which shows how many stocks are upticking versus downticking at the same time. And we got the lowest reading that we've had since May 3rd. Now, you may say May 3rd was a major low in the market, but the market was already oversold, and we managed to bounce and close higher on the day. Right now, it's not looking like anything like that is going to happen. It looks like we're going to continue to sell off, and we probably will see continuation over the coming days here.
And one thing we have seen a spike in, that is the VIX. That's the fear of volatility, or the fear index, taking a look at the volatility in the markets. That was up, 17% earlier today. It was trading at a one-month high. Obviously points to the fact right now it's up 31%. So points to the fact that a lot of investors are pretty worried about what's going on and all this uncertainty. Like you're talking about, obviously the big headline today is the news out of Europe, but then couple that with all the other uncertainties, right, especially with the Trump administration, has a lot of investors on edge.
And consider that these tensions have been building up for some time. S&P was trading in a range for 2 weeks, so we expected when there was going to be a breakout, it would be big. This is potentially bigger than I thought because it's something out of left field. We saw the situation in Italy. It was kind of a slow motion train wreck. But this just came out of left field yesterday. It really blew up in an unexpected way. It's catching most investors off balance. And that's why we're seeing illiquid markets. Liquidity is vanishing. The order book is thinning. And this is what happened in February. This is what happened in March when we saw the sell-offs, not to the same extent yet. Hopefully it won't get to that point. And there are some support levels that could catch the market underneath. But again, probably looking at more downside over the coming days here.
Jared, there was a note out just about a week ago from DataTrack, and they were pointing out in the second quarter it was a case of the haves and the have-nots. And some of the have-not cases are the bad news scenarios that they were talking about. One, they were saying the analysts were cutting their growth forecasts for several important sectors. They were also talking about that there could be potential some margin pressure for the S&P 500 as a whole. It looks like so far that that call was right. We are seeing some downward pressure here in a lot of these important sectors. I mean, particularly, we're seeing the downward move in financials today. Right. They were down significantly in mid-day trading.
Yeah, the U.S. Treasury market is seeing significant haven flows. That is, we're flight to quality right now. Mm-hmm. And so that is causing yields to plummet, and that is feeding into bank profitability, which varies with the yield curve. So that's not good news for banks. And analysts, as DataTrack pointed out, they had already been downgrading their earnings growth forecast for several weeks now. And same thing with industrials, consumer discretionary, and consumer staples. Now, in the areas where they see positive momentum EPS growth, they see that in technology and healthcare. Now, healthcare is lagging today, but technology is outperforming. The NASDAQ did turn green briefly on that mid-morning rally, and then it subsequently sold off, but it is outperforming the S&P 500 by a wide margin. I'd also add that the semiconductors are also outperforming the S&P 500, but it looks like of the major semiconductors, only Micron Tech is up right now at 2.4%.
We are seeing some of the FANG stocks. We have Facebook trading to the upside. Also, Amazon holding on to some slight gains there. And Netflix up about 0.2%.
And also up 84% for the year.
84% for the year, yeah. Not a bad stock if you own it so far.